And welcome back to the Ripley Recall. And I know we've been talking about a lot of products that we did last year and a lot of new products that we have coming up this year, but I think a really interesting product that has been in the works for a while and it's really starting to become something that we're putting a lot of focus and energy into is the 100 Year Centennial book for Camp Ripley. And I know, Mr. Housie, you've been a part of this for a while. And one of the biggest things about Camp Ripley is that there's a lot of information. There's a lot of history. I mean, the space has almost been here for 100 years.
Yep.
But not all the information that's been put out throughout 100 years is always correct, like any other kind of information. What we're doing right now is we're trying to look for a lot of primary sources. So can you talk us through that process and what we need to do for that?
Yeah, we kind of have an intimidating task of putting down and verifying a lot of our primary sources and seeing the connections. So it is an impression of what history is, you know, what was recorded and what was the official way of anything that happened. But, you know, we're going to work with the museum. We're going to work with a lot of our former leaders and whatnot and then put some of these stories down. And, you know, it's not that we're necessarily trying to get rid of anything that is current, and even the folklore and the fables and the, you know, latrinogram stories and stuff like that are still things that we want to keep in this element. We want to be able to tell that as well, but we're still looking for the hard facts.
No, and I think that's great. We're looking for the hard facts, but like you said, there's a lot of not only history at Camp Ripley, but there's a lot of partnerships and a lot of people that have put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into making sure that Ripley is known and the history of Ripley is known. And Sergeant Newbanks, you've been here for a couple of years now. I'm guessing you've heard a couple of stories about Camp Ripley. Do you got any favorite ones that come off the top of your mind?
I got to think off the dome here, but I think one of the things that Housie told me one time is like every old location, there's got to be ghosts, right?
Right, exactly.
And so I know, was it a couple of years ago, Housie was part of a team that went and did like a ghost investigation in the now headquarters building, Nelson Hall. And that's not the only place people have said they've seen ghosts. I know back in the original location of Fort Ripley, there's supposedly a ghost that walks around. You know, he got lost in the winter time, collapsed. He's just been out there roaming ever since.
Yeah,
but yeah, I remember there's a video on YouTube, and I remember I saw that, and you guys had a spirit box and everything, and spooky noises. And
so yeah. this is interesting. I want you to tell us a little bit about this, Mr. Housie, and we'll have to get the link for this YouTube video put up there so people can actually go and see it.
Well, the original headquarters for Camp Ripley, which was started in the 30s, and has been expanded on since, and it was an officer's quarters, and it had a full kitchen in it and a staff, a maid staff, and all these kind of things. So Nelson Hall, which is the post headquarters now, again, has always been haunted, and all these stories have come out of it. Even when the DNR occupied it as their headquarters for a while, there were a lot of different stories about noises and people walking up and down stairs, and there's not anybody in the building except for one person or whatever. And so on Halloween, a couple of years ago, we were organized with a paranormal investigation team and came in, and then we brought our cameras in and documented their process and whatnot. And it was very interesting. It was very exciting to see some of the things that they did and, what kind of possibilities there are in this haunted building.
Well, I know I haven't been here that long. I've only been here since September. But every time I walk in that building, I've seen the video on YouTube, and every time I feel like, okay, I don't know if I want to be here really, really late at night unless I got some Norick stuff coming up. But besides that, I mean, it is, they did do a really nice job redoing that building though. So the headquarters does look really nice. So I'm glad that, maybe the ghosts will like it over there.
Yeah, certainly. It's comfortable.
Exactly.
With a lot of history, there's got to be something that goes down, right?
Exactly.
Almost 100 years and you'd think.
Well, I think, too, one of the biggest things that doesn't get talked about enough is just the amount of changes that have happened at Camp Ripley over the last 100 years. Because, right. I mean, besides the main gate that you drive into, I mean, that's probably changed too since then, but there has been crazy amounts of changes. I mean, you've looked at some of the history into it, Mr. Housie. Like, what are some of the craziest things that you found just in the history of Camp Ripley?
Well, it's wild just to see, large scale, wide angle aerial photographs and whatnot of the base. And it's like the first soldiers that came here for training on June 14th of 1931 were arrived by train. They got off the train. I think they were coming out of Mankato. In the St. Paul area, and got off the train and went to their training area, set up their tents instead of in, air-conditioned or heated buildings, set up their tents, and then they would get up, right, have formation right outside their tents, walk 10, 20, 30 feet, whatever it was, to the rifle range, you know, and fire. And now it's, you know, it's extremely different. We have 53,000 acres as opposed to, you know, the 1,000 that we initially started with. And then, you know, we have maneuver lanes and react to contact lanes and mine, you know, simulations and medical simulations and a lot of this different stuff.
Well, I was going to say, too, I don't think you can just walk to the rifle range right now unless you're going on a couple-mile ruck march there.
Exactly.
But, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, just the improvements that we've made here and the state partnerships that we have. I know that, you know, MnDOT uses our resources, the state troopers use our resources, yeah. And they can want to continue using our resources because we put a lot of time, energy, effort, and funds into making sure that Camp Ripley is state-of-the-art as it possibly can be.
Yeah, you know, we're very much a state state facility. We are... you know, we are state organized, but we're federally funded in order to maintain that federal military mission. But to be able to utilize this space, our state partners, like you mentioned, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, they come here, push sand around before the snow falls, getting all their snowplow drivers ready to go. The State Patrol has had an academy here for over 50 years. You know, the DNR comes here to do all their certifications. State and local law enforcement from all over come here. It's been a big effort.
And I think a lot of youth actually use this place, too. We've had a lot of youth come up here not only to experience Camp Ripley, to kind of see what it's about, but also a lot of – we actually had earlier back in 2024 at the end, in December, November, we had a couple schools come out here and do some shadow programs with us, our new banks. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Right, yeah. The Little Falls school area, and if correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember the second school.
Pillager, I think.
Was Pillager.
Pillager and Little Falls.
Right, we had this really cool program put on by the Garrison Command Sergeant Major Hofstede, and he did a really good job of communicating to the schools and getting these students to come out and job shadow kind of the day in the life of a soldier or an employee working at Camp Ripley. So,
and to learn the trade, the different trades and stuff.
Right, yeah, it was kind of, they got to go and experience things like CMA South, so your maintenance facilities, they got to go work with IT, they got to work with the public affairs, and range control, everything else, and firefighters. So it wasn't just, you know, one job, go look, spend 3 hours, and move on. It was they got to go get to know some of these soldiers, look at, you know, actually fixing a vehicle, or I took them out and we took photos of an event downrange, and I showed them the process of editing the photos, captioning the photos, the basics of still photography. And I remember the first day we had one student that was here, and then the next day we had five who were interested.
For your information, audience out there, Sergeant Newbanks did such a great job that the all the kids started begging to come to the PAO team. So I will give that credit to Staff Sergeant Newbanks right there.
I may have promised possible explosions. But
yes,
I
mean, he may have promised possible explosions.
That didn't really happen.
Hey, you know, things change. Well, you know, we got a couple minutes left here, and I think another thing that I want to talk about is, you know, as the PAO team, we're not just sitting in our office all day editing photos and everything. We're actually going out into the field, like you talked about. Like, can you tell us what that is like going down range and kind of seeing all these cool things that you get to experience?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most rewarding parts about being in the trade of public affairs is that I get to go and see every aspect of the Army and the Minnesota National Guard. So I remember I was talking to my brother, and he's also in the Minnesota National Guard. He's a 12 whiskey carpentry masonry specialist. He also does search and extraction. He does a lot of really cool stuff. But I'll go and talk to him about what I'm doing at work. He's like, "Well, you want a helicopter today?" He's like, "I've been on one helicopter ever." And he's like, "You talk like you go on helicopters all the time." Or he's like, "You got to go and work with Air Force Special Forces for a week and everything else." And I, just because I have the ability to be here and the privilege to be working at Camp Ripley, I get to go and go down range for an entire day. You know, almost in the summer, especially almost every day for an entire week or throughout the 3 months that all this annual training is happening, and experience different units like artillery, infantry, aviation, and throughout the rest of the Army and other branches too. Like I said, the Navy's going to come here. Air Force is here all the time.
We even met some Marines today. They came in, they were looking for a different building, but we still helped them out.
Right. And so just getting to experience all these different aspects of the military in general is really rewarding. And having the ability to see that at Camp Ripley, because Camp Ripley provides so much to every branch, is a really cool experience.
Thanks, Sergeant Newbanks. We will be right back.